All right, take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of John. John chapter 1, and also Galatians chapter 4. And let us stand together, and we'll read from John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the Word was made flesh, it says in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I read for you, for your hearing, Galatians 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day in which we can come and, Lord, to sing the songs of praise. Lord, to look into your holy word. Lord, to be able to give back as you've given to us. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of all that you did when you came as a child. And Lord, we pray you would bless each one of us this day. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. John 1, 1a, in the beginning. This expression is also used in Genesis 1, 1a, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is Jesus Christ. It's one of his many titles. The meaning seems to be that the Word had an existence before the world was created. Lawrence O. Richards writes, John takes us back beyond creation to show that Jesus has been God the Son from eternity past. He existed before his birth, co-equal with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Warren Wiersbe writes, Jesus Christ existed in the beginning, not because he had a beginning as a creature, but because he is eternal. He is God, and he was with God. Jesus would say to the Jews in John 5:58, before Abraham was, I am. And they struggled with this knowledge. If you are able, turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, if you would, please. And we'll read the first three verses. According to these verses, Jesus Christ is God's last word to mankind, for he is the climax of divine revelation. Notice what it says in verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the power, or by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Born to die, we sang. We realized that Jesus Christ purged our sins. He himself. We cannot work our way to heaven. No good works will get us beyond, as some would call, the pearly gates. We find that heaven is for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and through his finished work and his finished work only. In verse 1 of John 1, it talks about the Word, and in the Greek, the word is logos, meaning the spoken word. The spoken word. John's point is that a key role of the second person of the Trinity has always been communication. The Son is the spoken word, the living expression of all that God has ever sought to communicate about himself. Would you say that there are things about God we don't know? There are a lot of things about him that we have no idea how it can be. Someday we may be shown these mysteries, but right now there are many things about God that we simply don't know. But they have communicated what they want us to know. Have you ever told your son or your daughter when they ask the question, I'll let you know what I want you to know? Maybe your wife has asked you, what has happened? And my wife sometimes will ask me questions and I will say, I'm not at liberty to tell you this. I will only tell you so much. God has told us what he wanted us to know. But communication, it's a wonderful thing. And he has communicated enough for us to know what needs to be done. We find in verse 1 that he was with God and he was God. Jesus Christ is God. He is not a created being like you or me. He came, was born of Mary when the Holy Spirit implanted Mary with the seed and a child was born. But he has always been. So when Jesus expressed to the people that he was equal with God and was indeed God, they had three options to accept when he heard the declaration. One of three things they could accept. Number one, they could say he was a liar. If you heard someone today walk in and say, I am Jesus and I am Jesus Christ your Savior, you would look at him and say, he's a liar. Or you would say, he's a lunatic. Or you would have to say he is Lord. If someone walked in now, we would not say he was Lord. But the people in that period of time had to make the decision. Is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Or is he truly the Lord? Not an easy decision for some. Yes, they were looking for a Messiah, but they were looking for a Messiah on a white horse that would come in and give them victory over Rome. But he came to give us victory over sin and death and hell. John desires to emphasize that God is one, yet he exists in separate personalities, each of them having a part in the redemptive work of man. And sometimes this may be difficult to grasp, but the teaching is clear, that the Word or Jesus existed eternally with God and as God. Verse 3. All things were made by him. You know, I find it amazing that there are many people, even in churches today, that will believe John 3:16, but will not believe Genesis 1:1. In Genesis 3:16, it says, for God loved the world. And they will believe that because they want salvation. But in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's the same God who loves us that created us. I would like to read to you a number of verses from the Word of God that deal with our Creator. Nehemiah 9:6, thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein. The Bible is clear that our Creator is God and that we did not evolve. Job 26:7. He stretched out the north over the empty space and hangeth the earth on nothing. How many of you have decorated a tree this year? Okay, your tree is up. Any of you are planning to maybe do your tree today? Tomorrow? Anyone still have to put the tree up? I see a couple of hands. Yes. I drove by a house the other day on garbage day in our subdivision, and someone was throwing out a tree. I wonder if that meant they'd gone out and bought another tree already. Yes. Don't you hate it if you have a pre-lit tree and they stop lighting up? I tell you, what a pain. But he hung the earth on nothing. I tell you this, that all the ornaments on our tree are hanging from something. You know what happens if they're not hanging on something? They fall. Yes. And dog toys? That could be. Yes. Psalm 95:6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He has made us. Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Again, Psalm 33, verse 9. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handy work. Psalm 9, verses 3 through 5a. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him. Isaiah 45:12, the Lord speaking, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. Verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Let me ask you this question. If you deny that God has made us, then you have to go in a different direction, don't you? If God is the creator of man, he has created morals. He has created rights and wrongs. If you believe that we are here by chance, there are no morals. Because morals come from a divine God. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No one will have an excuse when they stand before God. For creation declares that there is a God, that there is a divine designer, if you would. And he has made us. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. John credits the word with creation. The tense of were made implies a creative act, not a process. That it did not happen over billions of years, as the evolutionists would like to tell you. That some explosion billions of years ago. I was reading with great interest the little cartoon that showed a snowman. Three balls, hat on top, sticks for an arms, carrot for a nose, different things for his eyes and mouth. And at the bottom it said, happened by chance. And yet people will laugh at that. But then they'll say, well, we just happened by chance. were made is perfect tense in the Greek, which means a completed act. It is made. Why did Jesus come to planet Earth? Why did he come? Notice in verse 14 there of John chapter 1, and the Word was made flesh. He had a physical body. In verses 4 and 5, notice what it says. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He came because the world is in darkness. He came to bring light. And we that are born again believers, we are to reflect his light. What we are to be, as it were, a beacon that leads people to the Lord. And our lights need to be shining. Our lights need to be on. And they don't need to be a 10-watt bulb. They need to be a high-powered bulb. We know today that the old type bulbs that gave off heat, and they talked about giving off, they use so much energy, have been replaced with the curly bulbs that are supposed to last 10 years if you use them about 3 hours a day. Now that's what it says. If you use this bulb 3 hours a day, they should last 10 years. How many hours a week do you think these lights are on? 2 hours? So that means they should last at least 15 years. How come we've had to replace them? It hasn't been 15 years since we put them in. You know why? Because everything on earth has a lifetime. It has a lifespan. Everything is breaking down. Everything. You're breaking down. You know one thing I've noticed at being 62 is I don't like being 62. I liked it a whole lot better when I was 26. I was amazed what I could do at 26. I was amazed at how long I could last doing different things. How many of you now look for an excuse to go sit down someplace? Yes. You know, as you grow older, you don't get stronger and better, do you? No. We know that the end is, in some of our cases, it's just around the corner. Yes. You know, the Lord realized that because of sin, we have issues. And the greatest issue is a need of a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. And he came for that reason. Notice verse 29 of this first chapter of John. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We cannot take away our sinful act. There has to be a penalty paid for that act. And Jesus Christ paid the penalty when he died on Calvary. I want you to ponder this for just a moment. Who do you think is the best person in this room? No, let's not answer that question. Let's just use me as an example. Thank you, Brother Bob. Would you say that I'm... No, don't. Let's not go there either. Let me just... Let's start over. Yeah. Let it just be said that I'm a sinner. And you can say amen on that. Yes. Brother Jones, that was just a little bit too enthusiastic. But I am a sinner. And if I could work my way to heaven, I would have to do more good works than bad. Wouldn't you admit that? But I can't save myself because I can't do enough good works. So I'm going to go over here to Brother Stephen and I'm going to say, can I have your good works? And because he thinks I'm a great boss, he says, good. Yeah, you can have my good works. Can my good works and his good works get me into heaven? No. So I'm going to go to my wife and I'm going to say, honey, I love you. I need some good work. Can you give me some of yours? So I've got Stephen's, I've got Donna's, I got myself. Will that get me into heaven? All those good works? I'll go to my dad. He loves me. Maybe I should start this over again. So I've got the good works of my dad, the good works of my wife, my good works of my friend, and my good works. Four good people giving me their good works. Is that going to get me into heaven? Uh-huh. You guys aren't helping me at all. I've known Bob Muehlhoff for a long time. Over 40 years, Bob, I've known you. That's a long time. So I'm going to take Bob Muehlhoff's good works. I'm going to take Paul Wuttke's good works. I'm going to take 5 or 6 of you, your good works, and I'm going to have 12 people giving me all their good works. Is that going to get me into heaven? No. Because our good works will not get us into heaven. All of our good works, all of us, if all of you were to say, Pastor Paul, we love you, you can have all our good works, it's not going to get me into heaven. The only way I can get into heaven is through Jesus Christ. Only through him. Through his one act of sacrifice, I can have salvation. But it's what? It's a gift. It's a gift. Have you ever known somebody that was given a gift and then left it? It's only a gift if you receive it, right? See, we're saved through Christ. But what are the wages of sin? See, we work for death, but salvation is a gift. But you have to accept it. Each individual person has to accept it. My dad loves me. He's told me so. But he cannot save me. I have to accept the Lord as my own personal Savior. You have to accept the Lord as your own personal Savior. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb. In Abel, the son of Adam and Eve, we see a lamb for a person. In Exodus, at the Passover, we see a lamb per family. At the Day of Atonement, we see a lamb for the nation. In Jesus, we see a lamb for the world. Now, I know that today it's political suicide to say there is only one way into heaven. That there is only one true faith. But folks, there is only one true faith. We can coexist. We can say you have the right to worship as you choose, but there is still only one way into heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ. I read to you earlier Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. We have earned hell and hell's fire. Our first sin said, guilty, you're going to hell. The Bible tells us that there is a wide gate and many that are going through it to hell, but there is a narrow gate that leads to eternal life and few that find it. We find that the Lord is the door that leads to salvation, to redeem us. Many different things will be given this year at Christmas. Someone showed me a YouTube thing. I don't totally understand YouTube. I don't understand these different things. But I understand that Penny's put out a commercial about men in doghouses. Have any of you seen it? This man gave his wife a vacuum cleaner for Christmas. And she sent him to the doghouse, and he's fallen into who knows where with other men who have, well, one man gave apparently the woman a scale. And I think I think when they asked him, what would you do differently? Would you give her a gym membership? He said, yes. And then he says, oh, no, I shouldn't have done that either. See, and do I think it's wrong to give a vacuum cleaner? Not at all. Please, if you want to give your wife a vacuum cleaner, no problem. Make sure you use it, guys. But there are all kinds of things you can be giving. I noticed that Chevrolet has a commercial out that's saying, you don't have to wrap it, we'll put a bow on it for you. And that might be a good gift to give a new Chevrolet. You can give jewelry. You can give clothes. You can give gift cards. All kinds of gifts. In the bulletin, it talks about receiving Bibles. Well, I tell you what, that's a great gift. And thank you to those that give to our Bible fund so that we can make sure that people who don't have Bibles can have Bibles. That's an interesting thought that there are people who don't have Bibles in today's world. But I'd like to give you a gift, a great, precious gift. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Two of the greatest verses in the whole Bible, and I've told you this before, and I've asked you to underline or to highlight these two verses in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. But God commendeth his love toward us. Aren't you glad for the love of God? But don't ever forget that our God who is loving is also just. And he's holy, and he hates sin. But he's provided redemption through the blood of Christ to cover our sins. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. We don't have to get it right before he can save us. He will save us while we're sinners so that we can get it right. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. May I say this, if we could work our way to heaven, Christ would not have needed to die. If we could be good enough to get into heaven, Christ would not have needed to die. But we cannot, by our works or by our goodness, get into heaven. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Much more, verse 9 says, much more than being now justified by what? His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. John chapter 3, verse 36 talks about the wrath of God on those that will not believe on Jesus Christ. And what it is saying is that God the Father, because of his anger that we have rejected the sacrificial death of God the Son, we will bear his wrath for our rejection. But if we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we'll have eternal life. Shall we stand together? 375 is our song of invitation, just as I am. And maybe this morning you'd like to come and you'd like to pray. If you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, we'd be glad to show you from the Bible what you have to do. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for someone that you know needs the gift of salvation and you'd like to come to the altar and pray. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for this church and the need for it to continue to be a lighthouse and a beacon for the cause of Christ. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for our nation. Pray that we will once again see the need to come to the Lord. Maybe you'd just like to come and pray and ask the Lord to give you strength during this season to be a testimony for him. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask, Lord, that you would bless it and use it for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.